doing our part. It could be a battle each and every day, just ensuring we work on ourselves, our fitness, our mental health, and of course, our nutrition. But what are the impacts on that outside of our own bubble, and why should we worry so much about what we don't see? Today, I sit down with a nutrition company who is not only providing an amazing product, but doing so in a way that is actually sustainable and improving the world we live in. Dr. Darren Burke and former professional athlete TJ Gagliardi will help introduce us to the brand of the Two Vegans mission, and how the word upcycling is a game changer in the supplement industry, and how they stand out in a very competitive market. Experience, knowledge, passion, and a by-chance phone call many years ago that connected them for the very first time. Let's see how their mission has landed at this stage. Episode 112 of the Fitment Movement Podcast. You are listening to the Fitment Movement Podcast, your source for everything health, fitness, and life related. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fit Men Movement Podcast. This is episode 112. I'm your host, Matt Bracegirdle, which you can find me at the Fit Men Movement hashtag or the MRB Fitness 47 handle as well on social media. Followers of the program know we like to explore all aspects of health and wellness on the show. And today we're going to explore the nutrition game that's not only a vital part of our personal health, but also how you can make a bigger impact on the world around you. By choosing sustainable products and companies who are doing their part to not only bring cutting-edge technology in a very fast-changing game, but also doing their part in a way that also benefits communities, waste management, footprint, et cetera. So today I'm excited to have the two founders of the Two Vegans Mission supplement brand, Dr. Darren Burke, who I followed his sort of background with the supplement industry over the last decade, and former professional hockey player TJ Gagliardi, who has made the switch from athlete into the nutrition and supplement world. We'll explore a term that may be new to some of you guys when it comes to nutrition, which is upcycling, and we'll get into that as we speak about some of the products and the mission that they have. But before we get into the product, I'd like to welcome the guys to the show and get to know a little bit about the background and how we got to this stage. So Darren, TJ, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So TJ, I think he's in Calgary, and Darren is here in Halifax, not far from me. So I have both coasts represented here, but let's get a little bit into the background of how we ended up where we are. So maybe we'll start with you, Darren. What is your background and how did we end up in the supplement industry per se?
Well, Matt, first of all, thank you for having us on the show. It's great to see the things that you're doing, and also for your interest in our endeavor, because I think it's timely. It's important to talk about these things, and it's an emerging topic and category that I think is front of mind for so many people with food waste and food insecurity and all the things that are happening with our planet. And I think now more than ever, given the global pandemic, it's really timely that we're talking about these things. So a little bit about me. I'm an East Coaster. I grew up here in Atlantic Canada, went to university locally, did an undergrad and a master's degree, and then went out west and did a PhD, and then I became a university professor. And I was a student athlete. I don't think I was that good of an athlete. It turns out I was a better student, I think, than I was an athlete. So I got scholarships to do a PhD, and then parlayed my interest in athletic populations and food and diet and learned about supplements and started researching it and became a university professor. And I was fortunate enough to land an academic position back here at St. Evex in the rural community of Antigonish, and started doing product development research that at the time was really cutting edge stuff and of course fun for me as a new young academic to develop products and start working with athletic populations, both university athletes and then broader context. So for me, it all started with being an athlete and wanting to figure out how to get bigger, stronger, faster, then turning into a scientist that had a genuine interest both personally and also academically on ways to come up with protocols, whether it be nutrition protocols or exercise protocols or some combination that would help athletes better. And that, it's funny, it just made its way into me developing my own line of products. Excuse me. Yeah, so I went from that academic researcher to a guy putting pills and powders in jars and selling them at retail, and fortunate enough to have a terrific brand with my first business that started in 2008 and grew to become one of the biggest sport nutrition brands in Canada and then the US. And then I sold it in 2013. And that's when I took a bit of a hiatus. I had a 5-year non-compete that prevented me from working in the space, and did a lot of traveling, moved to the West Coast, spent some time in California, and then in British Columbia. And that's when I think TJ and I started talking about what each of us was going to do next. For me, what was going to happen after my non-compete expired, and for him, what he was going to do when his professional playing days ended. And that's how we kind of ended up with coming together and starting a business called Outcast Foods, and then further a brand, our own brand of upcycled, sustainable, plant-based sport nutrition products to address the missing part in the athlete's sport nutrition regimen, having good, clean, healthy, sustainable products. And that's kind of, I guess, my A to Z coverage of how I got to where I am here today.
It's one of those things is from the athlete side as well, myself, and not being on the educator side, scientific side behind the things that I remember like growing up through the junior hockey days, and it's that's when supplementation sort of became interesting to me. And it was at the time, it was like, what's the flashy, cool thing to do? But having no concept of, okay, what should I be looking for on the shelf? It was more of a marketing thing. What are people doing? Is that I love so far over the last decade plus is learning more about the product, learning about how it gets from, whether it's from concept to the shelf. And then now going into any store whatsoever and seeing the vast selection that you can choose from. So I'm definitely going to dive in a little bit further with Darren later in the show, just to find out, like, how do you guys distinguish what you're looking for on a shelf from a consumer and what you guys are doing to stand out. But let's hear a little bit about TJ's background. So as I mentioned in the intro, is that TJ was a professional hockey player, but maybe explain a little bit of your journey, TJ, and how you and Darren maybe connected for the first time.
Yeah, that's great. So I'll second this. Thanks for having us on. I did play hockey for 10 years professionally and met some cool people along the way. One of them was Darren. And, you know, it's funny to look back on it now, but I was playing with the Avalanche and our strength coach was an East Coast guy and had heard about this guy, this doctor. I like to say this crazy doctor, even though... we all know he's not, but there's this crazy doctor out in Halifax that started this supplement company, and you should connect with them because they, at the time, they were the only clean supplements really out there. So I said, all right, I'll try to get a hold of him. So I called the 1-800 number, and lo and behold, Darren answered the phone and happened to be in my hometown of Calgary that exact day. So maybe we looked at it as serendipity or something. So we went for lunch, and then that was the start of a great friendship. And Darren's been a mentor for me ever since, really, that day. So it's cool now to look back on that and how we've started a business together. And it's funny how life works out sometimes.
So TJ and I are around the same day. I'm growing up through the junior hockey realms, and that's as far as I have. But talk about the nutrition or supplement game when it comes to your experience at different levels of your athletic career. Is that I know, like when I was playing local junior hockey here, is that our team was sponsored by a Pizza Delight and Red Bull. So for us, nutrition was whatever was free at the time. Is that you would finish a game and okay, we'll head to the nearest Pizza Delight. We would there'd be some Red Bull and stuff on the bus and the ride home. But as you climbed the ranks, did you see an increase, obviously, of necessarily awareness, or were teams focused on nutrition when you first entered maybe the NHL compared to now? It's every junior team, every even minor teams that you see, is that they're starting to talk a little bit about more nutrition. But what was it like maybe starting up, coming in? Was it something that you were a free-for-all on your own? Like you said, you called Darren directly, which to some may seem like, well, this is a professional athlete. Don't they have people that are taking care of these things for them?
Yeah, that's funny to hear the freebies that you guys would get and that's what you take. So I think it was a similar sentiment for me when I was younger, especially you take whatever you could get. And supplements weren't really a thing for me until I became a pro. I'd always hear, hey, you got to put on weight, you got to get bigger, stronger, all that. So I think at that time I literally think I was drinking milk, like Homo milk. So you can tell the industry's come quite a bit since then. So, and then when I got to the NHL, yeah, it was similar. You know, we guys would just take what they got. It was on your own. If you wanted supplements, you'd have to go to a store and buy them. So I'd just go to GNC like anyone else and say, hey, what should I take here? I'm looking to do this. And it was probably someone who knew very little about supplements and would tell me what to take just so he could get some commission. So it's kind of funny to look back on that. And nowadays, even as I got later in my career, I think supplements became a bigger part of sport. Teams started to provide them. And you know, it's really a testament to Darren because there was no governing body when I first came into the league. You just kind of had to cross your fingers and hope you weren't taking something bad. And I think a lot of them had some crazy titles like, you know, Mutant Mass and all those. You try to stay away from those ones. And that was your best bet against getting a positive test.
Yeah, no, and that sort of leads into that question. So, Darren, when you're entering the supplement market, back when you did with your first launch, when it comes to guidelines and restrictions, and when you're going maybe to some of these athletic facilities or teams, what were you noticing when it came to, was there a lot of regulation, say 10, 15 years ago compared to what it is now? Or was it, okay, I have a product here, a powder in a bag. Would you like to try this? I promise it's okay.
Well, you know what, it's funny that back then, of course, and even now, you would think that it would have advanced significantly in terms of regulations and also monitoring. And it's still very little. So back in 2008, so 12 years ago when I started Rival, my last business, I don't want to plug the name. But when I started that company, yeah, of course, I was pretty close to a significant group of athletes and trainers and coaches, so quite aware of the typical practice. And as TJ described, oftentimes it's what the strength coach provided or what the team provided, whether it was researched to be the best product or not, it's kind of what was there. And oftentimes that just comes through a personal connection that somebody that's getting into the market is trying to introduce a product, and then they get athletes to use it and endorse it. And so it's still interesting. It's still kind of buyer beware type thing. So those consumers, whether you're a pro athlete or a young kid trying to get better and make the team, it's kind of, the onus still falls on the parents and the coaches and the athlete themselves to do a bit of due diligence and research it. And so the one thing I always say to parents or people that are embarking upon a supplement regimen or making a consideration of switching from one to the other is check out the company's website, check out who's the CEO, who are the founders. And I think that kind of tells you a lot about a company. If you go to the company's website and you actually don't even know who founded the company or who formulates the products, that should almost be a bit of a red flag. Like, I really think now the one difference is that I think there's an expectation of greater transparency with brands. And I think that consumers really should demand that of products that they see or are considering. Is they should definitely do a bit of digging and find that out. And if they can't figure that out easily on the website, maybe it's time to consider a different brand.
You know, we've chatted with some few people over the years with the episodes, and I remember talking with Mark DeYoung, the Olympic kayaker, and how he was saying the rigorous testing and stuff that they go through and how careful he needed to be with everything he consumed. But like you said, it's the parents of the Bantam and Midget age kids who are maybe into that resistance training mode and they're starting to take some supplements, is that it's easy for people to just walk in the street and get advice from people who are working in the stores, and there are some educated ones, but there also could be some people that are just in there for a paycheck who are steering you towards the latest sales or what they hear. So it's like you said, it's the research, and the transparency is a key word, because now when you go in, like I said, you go into a local store or even online, it's okay, here are the flashy labels, the flashy products, but how come one's $49.99 for a tub and how come one's $80? And it doesn't necessarily mean that the $80 a tub is that much better or better for you than the lower one. So as far as a brand, like how, when you guys enter the market, how is it that you're trying to stand out when it comes to maybe the visual or the marketing side of things that may set you apart from any other person we see on the shelf if we know nothing about the supplement industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a, that's an ever-pressing question. I think anybody that has a brand in retail nowadays, regardless of if it's a supplement or something else, a piece of clothing or something in the either fashion industry or coffee or what have you, you need to set yourself apart. And I think, and I know TJ can certainly speak to this and we'll be happy to jump in. For me, having had previous experience and pinch myself fortunate to have had great success with my last brand and market, I knew that we had to do something very different. And the one thing that's obvious with our two vegans mission is really, you're talking to two vegans here, so it's kind of a no-brainer. So TJ and I both live a 100% plant-based lifestyle, and that goes beyond simply the food that we eat. It also transcends our entire life and our families and living in a very sustainable way. And me as the science guy, having had a previous sport nutrition line that was successful, we wanted to do something different. So step one, I think, is when you're going into a marketplace is you want to highlight the differences. Step two, you need to have that transparency there that is going to showcase, okay, how are you living true to the brand message? And I think the third part for us was to really make a difference. So I think for us, in having launched the Two Vegans mission, it was about things that were really important to us that are becoming increasingly more important all the time. And that's the impact of our food choices on the environment. So, you know, for me, it's really easy. Now, at the same time, I say it's easy. It was easy for us to want to do what we've done with our current brand, but we've gone through so many iterations because launching a product in a marketplace, there's so many different factors at play, such as the retailer and their interest, and then of course resonating your message with the customer and making it connect with the customer in the way that makes most sense. So like any new brand, we have had our share of changes. And I think the objective, of course, is that you're always changing to get better, make not only a really good product, but also package it and present it in a way that helps the consumer quickly determine what is different and what is unique and why it makes sense for them to support your brand in the marketplace.
Right. And it's as we get sort of steer into the two vegan mission here. So, for example, he's talking about standing out. So I'm looking at a couple of products right now on my desk, and like right away, I see the words earth. I see plant strong. I see the words upcycled. So to me, it sort of jumped out sustainable is that, okay, maybe this is something a little bit different as I've seen over the last decade of using supplements is that these are sort of newer words when it comes to the industry is that before the vegan side of the plant-based proteins, in my circles and widely in some publications, it seemed like no way is the way to go when it comes to building muscle and when it comes to guys training, and that the vegan side of things was sort of coming in, but it certainly wasn't the mainstream. But I feel like that's starting to switch. So TJ, why don't you talk a little bit about what the mission is and maybe get into what it is the product is doing differently, and specifically this upcycled term that I mentioned at the start of the show, because it may be new to some of our listeners. It was to me before you guys started to launch your product that this was something that was possible. So I'm interested to hear and share with our listeners what it actually is, the product that you're doing, and why it sort of sets itself apart.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you haven't heard that before, because really we're the first to ever do it. no one, especially in the supplement industry to date, has really put any emphasis on the environment or sustainability. So that's kind of, that was the gap that Darren and I found in this industry. It was to be able to come up with a company that actually has a sustainability mission as an important piece. So what we've done is essentially we work with farms, food processors, food manufacturers, and even grocers on upcycling their surplus. So upcycling really just means finding a better home for it other than the landfill or animal feed or various traditional sources. So we're able to take, you know, perfectly good produce that for a variety of reasons would have normally found its way into a landfill. And we take that and we process it in our patent pending process at our facility in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And that turns it into dehydrated pieces, powders, and then those end up in our formulations. So, and we also sell those business to business. So it's a, it is a unique business, and it's something that is new. It's really hasn't been around long. I think if you would have said the word upcycling even 3 years ago, I think maybe 0.1% of the population would have known what that is. And we still have a lot of work to go. We really have to educate everyone on what we're doing and really that we're not using waste. I think that's one thing on the marketing side that we always have to walk that fine line, is to show people that, you know, the stuff that we take is beautiful and it's in perfectly good shape. Mm-hmm. And there's just gaps in the world why this stuff ends up in landfills.
Yeah, no, that's sort of what I was going to say, is that this is an issue when you talk about like, okay, nobody wants to see waste, and we're in that sort of era right now where people want to help the environment and want to do things. But the other thing is, it's one thing to want that and to see companies do that, but to turn that into a product is something that that fascinates me, to go, okay, this is something that there are X amount, thousands, 100,000s of tons of waste every year in, say, North America, but what can we do with it? Is that it's so, at what point was it sort of a combined effort? Was it you, Darren, on the scientific side to say, like, geez, I should approach these local farmers or retailers and find out what they're doing with their excess produce? And were you surprised when you heard the amount that was maybe being wasted?
Yeah, you know what? It was really eye opening and shocking to see the size of this food waste issue. And again, when I think about our initiative and the road that we've traveled since, you know, 3 years ago when TJ and I incorporated the company and started heading down this path with the business. It continues to shock me, the level and the amount of food waste. And it's by no fault of anyone, except as a population, consumers have expectations for certain things, and those expectations have caused large gaps in the supply chain from the farmer's field all the way through to the grocery retailer putting the products on shelf. So, you know, when my approach to this as a science guy was, is there a better option? I mean, of course, I think a lot of people now think there's got to be a better option than putting this food to landfill. And there's certainly initiatives to supply food banks and other areas, but the size of the food waste is still far in excess of those products being able to fill food banks and keeping them healthy stocked up. So again, my approach was always, as the science guy, is there something we could do to retain the nutrients mm-hmm. that were in these food products when they were fresh out of the ground? And at the time, there was no company actually investigating that and investigating it from a way to return the products out to market. And, you know, for you to say now the term upcycling and upcycled as it pertains to food, I think we're more educated now, all of us on this call, but the vast majority of people hadn't even considered it or hadn't even heard of it. And now with our business, we've actually made upcycling of food a reality. And, you know, the science side is the nutrients are there and it's high value because the process we use is unique. and it's patent pending worldwide. And second, not only is there a high nutrient value, but there's also no hazardous, awful things in there that people are obviously concerned about when they think about diverting food waste and putting it into a package and buying it or merchandising it in their store. So the scientific side of me was, let's make sure we can showcase that there's still a lot of valuable nutrients there. And then the second most important piece was, let's make sure that there's no harmful bugs or anything like that, microorganisms or anything else that would become a hazard from the food supply chain.
And then being in the logistics industry the last couple of years and seeing how far certain things may travel, whether that's from overseas or even going coast to coast, is that it's, for me on a personal level, being in Nova Scotia and saying, okay, here's a company doing something like this. From what I gather, you're using a lot of local producers, farmers. Is it right now Atlantic Canada specific, or are you sourcing stuff from other parts of the country at the moment?
I'll jump in. Yeah, I wasn't sure if Darren wanted to answer that one, but no, we're working with farms, plenty of farms. I think we're up to 8 in Nova Scotia, and then we're working with some food processors out there as well. I wish we could work with more. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is our facility is running on 24-hour day, 7 days a week shifts right now, just to keep up with the demand that we have and the available inputs. I think we could literally close our eyes, spin the globe and drop a pin, and there'd be, if we built another facility, wherever that pin went, there'd be food waste within that area enough to run that facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as well. That just, it shows how big the problem is and how big of a of an issue we're dealing with food waste.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to, my next question was, this is not a seasonal thing. So say Atlantic Canada, all of a sudden you guys have, whether that's building more facilities, is that this will never be an issue where you run out of product. Like you said, you can, given funding and stuff going forward, assuming you want to move forward with it, is that this is something that, like you said, I can't imagine there's anywhere that you can't just say, okay, we're going to provide the infrastructure. We're going to actually do all this work, but we're going to take all of this, this waste that you're using and turning it into this product. So what's been the feedback from the farmers and the grocers? Was this something that obviously they want to do better, but is this helping them as well? Does it more so than just maybe a conscious side of things where they feel good that the stuff is getting used and not wasted? Is that, does that play a big part in them in coming to you? And have you had any pushback from any of those sectors for not wanting to maybe participate in something like this?
I don't think anyone wants to waste food. It's just our current infrastructure, the way it's set up, it leads to a lot of waste. So everyone that we've talked to so far, they've been very helpful, and they've been great supporters of our business. We're constantly looking at ways to innovate and help other businesses outside of the ones that we're already working with. And it really is a constant job trying to figure out how we can do this with at scale. So no, to date, we haven't really had any pushback. Everyone wants to help, and they want to see food actually end up in humans' bellies instead of making greenhouse gases in the earth.
Yeah, no, the product itself, and I know chatting with a lot of people that I work with sort of behind the scenes when we talk about supplementation, is that like you guys, like the authenticity and proof and belief that this stuff is generally make a difference, is that obviously when it comes to a supplement, for example, the protein powders, that it mixes smooth, the flavor is great. It's like all of these things, if you put these side by side with any product that you have on the market, is that, to me, is that, okay, I would not be able to tell that this was something that was actually helping more so than just, okay, myself. It's actually helping the community around me. And for me, obviously Atlantic Canada, and given the current global situation with the pandemic, is that this must be a unique situation for you guys currently, is that I assume that this has probably maybe hampered a few things logistically, but maybe raised awareness of the importance of what you guys are doing given the current COVID situation.
I'll let you jump in, DB. I've been stealing the thunder for a bit here.
I was watching the mic go on mute. TJ, as you can tell, TJ is a smart guy and a terrific. he's done his fair share of interviews over the years. In fact, I remember when one of the early games I went, I watched him after the game dealing with the press and signing autograph for kids. And it's not hard to tell he's a natural at this type of thing. No, I mean, we get up in the morning and we love what we do, and right. and the product that we make, really, it speaks to us as individuals and collectively as a company. Of course, for us, you know, we're trying to build the community awareness and increase the range and size of our community so that other people can see that, you know, to buy Plant Strong protein, not only will it taste and mix amazing and serve your body all the protein and nutrient needs that you need, but it also supports an endeavor and an initiative of a socially responsible company that's trying to make differences, not only for you personally on a one-to-one basis, but also collectively for the planet. So, you know, I'd love to, we do whatever we can, and we stand on the highest mountain and we can shout and tell our story. And the more people like yourself that have an interest and can speak to the product and the company and the people behind it, the better it is. And I think it's just a matter of time. Like with any consumer brand, if the company is a good company and it's run by good people and they make good products and they stand behind their products, really, it's just a matter of time for that message to have built a bigger community and further support the initiatives that have started with simply an idea. And a lot of, you know, TJ and I can reflect on many of the conversations and a few of the airplane trips where, you know, we're making notes on the napkins that you get, you know, while you're on the plane. It's refreshing to have seen it grow as much as it has, but for us, there's still so much more road for us to cover, and we're excited about the future. And again, little things like this is terrific, and we see you socially online. You're a responsible and a credible individual, and the advice that you give to the clients that you work with, it's near and dear to you, and your clients appreciate your approach to it and given prudent advice. And so for me, as the founder of our products and the creator of it, it's the same thing for me. Like, I typically don't, you know, wave the flag on my street and get out in front of my house and have the products all flashing all over the place. But it's interesting with what's gone on. I'm around the house more. I'm out in the neighborhood walking my dogs twice a day. And I see my neighbors, and my neighbors are coming up saying, "Hey, I bought Plant Strong and I love it. And now I've got my sister buying it." And so that part has been really funny and also really personally rewarding, just to see the folks in our immediate community buying and using our products and really supporting and patting us on the back for doing a great, community responsibility with improving the environment.
No, and that's like, I appreciate those kind words as well, but that's my philosophy. Like over the years is that when I was younger, okay, maybe it was all about, I want to get stronger. And now I'm starting to, okay, I want to do my part to keep my body fueled properly, to be able to, okay, give back, but also to promote the products like this, is that this is something that, for me, is that I'm excited when I see these type of things. The podcast for me is, it's great to be able to share the information, but it's also educational for me. It's such a funny world how the networking industry works, is that, and what I love is that your guys' story is that, okay, this wasn't sort of a forced business venture. This was two guys who met up because of a 1-800 number call, and all these years later, look at what they've done. And it's in a world where right now where there's so much uncertainty, is that people who are doing things the right way, that are authentic, that are passionate about what they're doing, is that those are the ones that I hope thrive. And those are the ones that I think will continue to grow, and people will start to relate more with those than the mass produced ones that maybe are a little bit less expensive, but there's nothing behind it. It's just a product where you guys have a story, you have a mission, you have something that's actually contributing outside of just fueling your body in an industry that is very full of options wherever you go nowadays between the Costco's, grocers, online, et cetera. So before we get out of here and let you guys get back to your busy day is, so right now the main two vegan products, you have the protein, there's a creatine and a vegan multi. Are those the three that you're focused on right now?
Yeah, those are our main ones right now. Stay tuned because we're going to be launching some more soon, more flavors, a couple more products once things, fingers crossed, settle down with COVID.
Right. And like some people have seen on my social media, go to the website after you hear this, because I just loaded up on this family pack of protein, which is an incredible deal. It's unflavored, this one thing. And it's, my wife and I use it a lot in baking, whether that's mixing it with other products. So I'll post all of the links in the show notes. So people, if they haven't seen it, you can check out Two Vegans Mission on social media, through their website. You can reach out to me directly. I know Darren and the Two Vegans team are very active on social media as well. So do your part as well, is that you like these products, promote them, because this is how things will grow. If you you have passion behind something, you want it to grow, this is what these guys are doing. So I can't thank Darren and TJ enough for coming on to share a little bit about what they are doing. Hopefully you guys learned some new information today with the whole upcycling product. But I want to wish you guys all the best. I will definitely be moving forward with following the journey and happy and helpful to keep doing what I can to play my part and hopefully boosting things along. But hope to see bigger and better things as you guys keep going, and hope that everybody stays safe. And once we get back to a little bit of a more normal reality here shortly, hopefully, that you guys can continue to push forward, because it's definitely a great thing that you guys are doing.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. So that will end episode 112 of the podcast. So stay tuned next week as we bring you another episode of the Fit Men Movement.
Hey, everyone. Chris and Matt here.
Hey, guys.
So if you find episodes like this valuable and enjoy the Fit Men Movement podcast, there are many ways in which you can support it. You can leave reviews on iTunes or anywhere else the show appears. You can also tell your friends about it or link to it on social media. You can also sponsor the podcast directly through our website.
Our support page has links to Patreon, where you can support the show on a per episode basis or a simple one-time donation. You can find all of the details you need to help support this podcast at fitmenmovement.com/support.
And guys, please know that your support is greatly appreciated by both Matt and myself, and it's listeners like you that make this show possible. We can't thank you all enough.